Mike Sider net, and that scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Here it goes, put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get it going this hour. Welcome to Canmore, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It's Friday, January 17th. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We're here at MTN House, is where we are doing the program from. Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Flames Talk from Hockey Day in Canada. Saturday is Hockey Day in Canada, coast to coast, starting at 11 o'clock Calgary time, 12 and a half hours of wall-to-wall coverage, all seven Canadian teams in action. Hockey Day is going to be pretty fun, and Flames and Jets are a part of it. That game going at 5 o'clock Calgary time on Saturday.
It's a excellent opportunity to spend an entire day on a couch watching hockey. If you ever needed an excuse before, tailor-made for you here. Just remember to flip or rotate so you don't get a little bit of a sore back. Depends on how good your couch is. Mine, not so great right now, so that's why I'm cognizant of the fact that I'm going to need to shift once in a while. But Hockey Day in Canada, the perfect opportunity to take in a whole lot of hockey.
Or come on out to Canmore and be a part of it on Saturday for the 12-and-a-half-hour telecast as well. Ron McLean, Kelly Rudy, Kevin Bieksa, the entire panel will be a part of it. Obviously, in the first hour, we had both Kelly Rudy and Kevin Bieksa with us here. And to kick off this hour on the Sports Drive and to kick off this hour of Flames Talk, there's a gentleman who is seemingly always associated with Hockey Day as well. The one, the only, the GOAT and the 1989 Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Hall of Famer, and we all know it's Lanny McDonald. Lanny, it's Pat and Aaron. It's great to have you on the program as always. How are you, sir?
Well, first of all, I can't believe you called me the GOAT. Like, that's reserved for someone really, really old. And, like, I got to take down Colin Patterson today. my team is going to hopefully annihilate his team, and we're good to go.
I see that you're going head to head against Patter, and I've seen you guys go back and forth without skates before. So I'm quite curious, like going head to head in a Hockey Day alumni game, what the Lanny and Colin chirping might look like on this Friday evening.
Well, you know what? We're both a little competitive when Kevin Bieksa drafted my team. I asked him to get as much toughness into the lineup as I could. And you know what? We're going to drive them right out of the rink by the time it's over.
At this stage of the game, though, Lanny, like, Colin's a very soft-spoken gentleman. Like, can you even hear him at this point when he's on the ice? I haven't heard Colin raise his voice in probably 15 years.
Well, he's got a very ample opportunity to let his team's playing do their talking, but I don't like his chances. You know what? He's getting up there in years, and I like my lineup a whole lot more than his, but regardless, what a great last 2 days we've had here, and this will be a special treat this game for a whole lot of people. Sold out building right here in Canmore. It'll be a blast.
I imagine this alumni game, as you mentioned, gets the juices flowing a little bit. I'm just curious if there are any side stakes involved with Patter on this one.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's bragging rights and dinner with his dear wife, Sherry, against my dear wife, Ardell. I hate to throw the spouses in there, but yeah, we're taking them to McDonald's if we lose. But we're going for the most expensive restaurant if we win.
I like that. I like that quite a bit. You've been involved with numerous Scotiabank events in the past, Lanny. You've been involved with Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada many, many times. It's pretty it's a pretty special day every single year. But you know, for you being an Alberta guy, for you being synonymous with the city of Calgary, to have it out here in Canmore, just you know, 45, 50 minutes away, it's pretty special, isn't it, this year?
Well, it really is. And anytime you're in Canmore, you look around at the mountains and the scenery. It's absolutely spectacular. And to have it right in our backyard, it is such a great feeling to not only be here, but be a part of it. We've done school visits. We've done skating clinics with Skating with the Cup at different arenas. The gala event last night was fantastic, but probably the most fun is the school visits and the questions the kids ask you, and where you can send a message and have a little bit of fun with them as well.
Lenny, you mentioned the school visits and the questions. Should Pat and I be worried our futures are in jeopardy with some of the queries you get from the kids?
Well, I got to tell you, there's some pretty sharp kids out there, but I think the two of you probably have at least 3-4 months left.
Perfect.
It's probably over.
For you, what's it like whenever you're reunited at an event with the Stanley Cup?
Oh, my gosh. I don't care if you're 5, 55, 95. When the cup is around, it is absolutely magical. Whether it's at the rink, whether it was at the gala event last night, or the school visits. And for kids to have a chance to see it, see all the different names and teams, maybe their favorite team is on it. It is so cool to to just be a part of it. One of the funniest things happened at the Morley Arena yesterday. We were taking pictures with some kids, and I put my hand on the cup standing beside this young man, and he looked at me and he gave me heck that I didn't know or didn't realize that it's superstitious when you touch the cup. You're never going to win it now. And it brought the house down, and it was so fun. Like the innocence of kids, but the tradition of never having to touch the cup or especially pick it up, it's out there, and it was pretty funny.
Lanny, it's interesting as you're telling that story, and you know, I've had the privilege of interviewing you many, many times, but and chatting with you many, many times, but I don't think I've ever asked you this one. You know, as the 1989 legacy in Calgary and the 1989 legacy for the Flames continues to resound to this day, Do you ever think about how special it is that you're like one of those few athletes that got the opportunity to truly go out on top? Like your last game was the game that you raised the Stanley Cup for the first time. Like you think of players like Ray Bourque and Lanny McDonald and Peyton Manning. There's not very many guys who got to go out as a champion and retire like that. Do you ever think about that or reflect on that fact?
Oh, all the time. In fact, a guy that could have probably played 3 or 4 more years, Jean Béliveau in Montreal. They win the cup in 71. I think he was second leading scorer. He retired and walked away from the game. And it told you right there, there's a time to hold them and a time to fold them. And what better time to walk away than being on top.
You mentioned the name Jean Béliveau, and immediately the first name I think of now when I think of Jean Béliveau is the late Al McNeil Chopper. And the reason for that is because when Jean passed away about a decade ago, Al McNeil was at the Saddle Dome, and he came out and spoke with us in the media about having the opportunity to play against Jean Béliveau when he was with the Maple Leafs, and then the opportunity to coach the great Jean Béliveau to start off his coaching career. And obviously, recently we did lose Chopper, and Al did pass away. Lanny, I know it's been a real hard time for the Flames alumni. Can you just talk a little bit about the legacy and the life of the amazing Al McNeil?
Well, for him to win the Stanley Cup in 71 and go back to the Nova Scotia Voyagers and win three Calder trophies after that, then go to Atlanta and move to Calgary, win another cup in Calgary, it was absolutely remarkable, the love for the game that Chopper had. And even as short a time as maybe 3 weeks ago, he was still doing game reports, giving them handwritten game reports, and giving them to Craig Conroy to give to the coaching staff, just trying to help understand how the Flames could possibly play better. That was the love affair he had with this game, and he had this great understanding of what it would take to win, and he certainly, along with Cliff Fletcher and Al Coates, made such a difference in building that team all through the 80s and finally winning in 89.
Lanny, where I sit for Flames games at the Saddle Dome, up until maybe about a year ago, I would routinely sit about four seats down from Al McNeil, and you would hear, you know, every once in a while, every third or fourth game, Al would slam his fist on the table, or you'd hear him yell something at, and it wouldn't be like something egregious. It wouldn't be something that, you know, everybody would pick out. It'd be something a little bit more subtle because of his knowledge of the game. But man, that guy had a passion for hockey and a passion for this Flames organization, didn't he?
Well, he really did. And one of the coolest things would be when you first saw him, if you were watching a practice and you walk in, he would always ask or start the conversation, how's Ardell? How's the rest of the family? And then get right into hockey. Well, what do you think of this? Do we need another defenseman? How about moving this guy to center ice? Like, the guy loved the game, and that smile told it all each and every day. He was just consummate pro start to finish.
Lanny, how contagious is that passion?
Oh, I think it's unbelievable. When you have a person like that around you each and every day, and he helped change things when we first came to Calgary, even before I was there, in understanding what it would take to find a way to not only compete with Edmonton, but to eventually win the Stanley Cup. And that time that he had when we lost in 86, but he knew full well that we had the team that could come right back. Yes, it took us 3 years, but fortunately, with that passion that he had, we found a way to get it done.
We're chatting with Lanny McDonald ahead of Hockey Day in Canada on Saturday. Lanny with us here on Flames Talk. Lanny, how much fun has this been watching the Flames this year? I know the last couple of games haven't gone the way they'd like, but through 44 games, how much fun has watching this group been this year?
You know what? Everyone kind of wrote them off before the season even started. And I think the coaching staff has done a phenomenal job in preparing the guys and making sure they get the best out of the guys each and every day. Yes, the last two games, they probably would like to burn those tapes or hope they just disappear and maybe those games go back into the schedule. Obviously, that doesn't happen, but they got a huge game against Winnipeg on Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada, and you find a way to win that, and you get to come home and play a couple home games. So we gotta find a way to continue playing as hard as the coaching staff has them. We've got some guys probably that need to play a little bit better, and I'm speaking of probably the bottom six forwards, the defense, who everyone kind of calls the no-name defense after Uyghur and Anderson, have played exceptionally well. And, Wolf and Lador, they've done their job. We just got to hang in there and turn it around, and tomorrow's a great day to do it.
You mentioned Ryan Huska doing a good job of preparing the Flames this season for that sort of underdog mentality. How much of that also falls on the leadership group led by Michael Backlund, Nazem Kadri, Jonathan Huberto, Uyghur, as you mentioned, Anderson, as you mentioned, so on and so forth?
I think it has everything to do with those guys. They've bought into it. You mentioned all those names. I'm going to throw another one in. Lombo. How he plays, how hard he plays, but the leadership of Michael Backlund is where it all starts. Not only on the ice, but off the ice. Being a great pro, start to finish, both on the ice and off the ice, what he's done for Special Olympics and ALS, and playing as hardy as he does every night. And you look at Coleman and you look at Coronado, who are playing on his line. No wonder those guys are playing as successfully as they are. They're being driven by Michael Backlund.
As a former Flames captain and now seeing Michael as the current Flames captain, How proud is he doing that long tradition of Flames players in that role?
Oh, I think it's phenomenal. I couldn't be prouder of him. He just brings his A game every day. He plays hard. There's not a whole lot of, I'll call it fanciness and flash to his game. He brings his lunch bucket, rolls up his sleeves, and go to work each and every day. And, boy, he is so easy to follow. And that's why I think having Husk behind the bench, it's guys like Michael Backlund that is helping drive the team as successful as they are this year.
How much more difficult is the second half of the season going to be? They've done great things so far. They're sitting in a playoff spot. How much harder is this challenge going to get, Lanny?
You know what? It's one game at a time mentality. You're going to have to play. If you thought it was hard for the first half, it's going to be even harder down the stretch. And this could go right to the last week of the season when you play the teams you may have to beat out. And you know what? You wouldn't want it any other way, and nor would the coaching staff or the players. If you're going to make the playoffs, you've got to earn it. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Just before we let you go, Brent Cron was wondering if he said, ask Lanny if he can score on me. So I said, well, we got Lanny on the line. How easy or how difficult would you find scoring on Brent Cron?
Well, should I blindfold myself take the shot? The guy is a human sieve. And you know what? Every once in a while, I'll purposely shoot at his pads just to make him feel good. But he's such a good guy. I don't want to break his heart. So we'll leave that for the next alumni skate.
That's what I like to hear. Okay, that was even better than I was hoping for as an answer. And tell us about the alumni game here on Friday night, hockey day on Saturday. Just tell us how excited you are to be a part of this weekend here in Canmore, Lanny.
Oh, it's so great. Matt Stajan is coming up. Curtis Lanecross is coming up. I think everyone probably understands at this point the Calgary Flames, I think, probably have the best alumni in the league. And to have the nine guys from the Stanley Cup team living in the city, and then you throw in people like Matt and Curtis and Ron Regier and Mike Condor, and the list just goes on and on. We are proud of helping make a difference, and it's so much fun up here in Canmore. And really, when it comes down to it, win or lose, the game is the big winner from these 4 or 5 days in Canmore. And it's so much fun to see the city embrace it the way they have. Everywhere you go, there's signs and people, they just want to talk hockey. And it's so cool. And you go to the schools and all the teachers and all the kids are wearing different jerseys. And one of the things I said today is it would be boring if everyone cheered for the same team. So be proud of who you're cheering for and just enjoy the camaraderie of being a part of this great game. Don't get upset or give people a hard time just because they're wearing a different jersey. And it's been awesome.
And I will just say one last thought. I would push it one better. I think the Calgary Flames alumni, the best alumni group in professional sports anywhere in North America. I would vouch for that all day, every day. What you and Jamie and Colin and Perry and Curtis and Matt and you know, just the even Croner, what you guys do on a daily basis in Southern Alberta and the Calgary community, it truly is incredible, Lanny. So I second that, and I'll raise you one. I think it's the best alumni group anywhere. Period. You guys do an incredible job, and I know you know that, but it's probably good to hear every once in a while on the outside, too.
Well, it certainly is, and it's so much fun trying to pass on this great love for the game that we all have.
Lanny, be well. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Good luck. Well, I guess from the way you're talking, I don't think you're going to need the luck tonight in the alumni game, but well, good luck. Good luck nonetheless.
Just enjoy the steak dinner.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
I love
apologies
it.
To Patterson.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Be well. Thanks, Lanny. Lanny McDonald, Calgary Flames alumni, Stanley Cup winner, Hockey Hall of Famer, the GOAT, Lanny McDonald, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Always outstanding to chat with Lanny. And enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and delivery available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. So Hockey Day in Canada is Saturday, and it is Hockey Day in Canada. It is start to finish at 11 a.m. It starts. It goes all the way until the end of the late game. Ron McLean hosting all day Saturday from Canmore. They've been out here since Wednesday, and they're staying all the way through Saturday. 12 and a half hours on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus, the 25th annual Hockey Day in Canada, presented by Scotiabank, here in Canmore, Alberta. Pretty cool to have it in our backyard. We've had a lot of good guests on today. And now, oh, Matt's here too.
Ouch. Ouch. Excuse me. Here are your teeth, sir.
No, thank you.
Hi, Matty. What's up?
What are you doing? Can't wait to pick him off the ice later tonight.
What's up?
Big rivalry game tonight for Matty Rose.
Yeah, taking on my vaunted rival, George Russick and Team McDonald.
Yeah.
How was Lanny?
Lanny was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Apparently, he really likes to rip people when they're not doing good. So, like, I really hope that he absolutely lays into George in one of the intermissions.
Yeah, yeah, George is on Team Lanny, right? Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah. Did you plant that seed with Lanny?
No, that was all George. I didn't do any of the meetings. George, I think, is the one who made sure I got picked last in the draft. But I'm way happier to be with Colin Patterson, frankly. Underrated. Underrated that
call.
You just
missed Lanny absolutely roast Brent Cron as well.
Cron loves it.
Cron asked me to. Now he wants me to tell Lanny to say. I'm not going to say
some things that you shouldn't say to a Hall of Famer.
No, I'm not going to say that to the Hall of Famer.
Oh, good.
So I won't do that.
Hey, thanks for coming out.
Hey, we're happy to be here. Enjoy the game on this Friday.
I'm so incredibly nervous.
Like, oh, don't be nervous.
I see you just pacing back and forth in the lobby. Don't you have a pregame nap or something to get to?
No, I already slept from like 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock after the show. A little bit of a late night before the show.
I saw on Instagram. Do you have a couple pops or before the game? Or are you going to be...
I already had a pop. I just crushed a shaft. So that's kind of the pregame routine right now.
Okay.
Maybe a light stretch, limber up. Spent about 30 minutes in the hot tub earlier.
Okay.
This is going to be so bad.
The dedication he puts into this, though, like this whole routine is phenomenal.
I'm going to try and not hurt myself and anybody who has to be on air this weekend.
I think he'll be better than George.
I better be. That's really the only bar I'm trying to jump over.
George isn't even using his own equipment. He's using his own equipment.
I know. So. Well, we went out for a little spin on the ODR today. He got a little morning skate in, mm-hmm. and because he wanted to try on the skates.
Yeah.
I will say.
Confidence booster from your side?
He's a better skater than
I thought. Okay.
But at the same time, he never really, broke it loose. So
didn't take too many strides on that morning skate? Just a lot of coasting?
Yeah, there were some kids out there, too. There wasn't a ton of room. So we got to save the big shifts for tonight. But I'm going to be hemmed in there in the second period for, like, 2-minute shifts.
No,
we're going to get the clock going in the bottom corner for old Rose.
The shift clock. You never want to see the shift clock
when you're on the ice. No,
they don't usually
true.
Put it up for the short shifts.
That's not how that works.
Oh, 22 second
wow,
shift.
Wow, good for him. Excellent.
Have fun.
Bye.
Matty Rose is here as well. Boys did the big show Friday morning here from MTN House as well. Hockey Day in Canada starts at 11 o'clock Calgary time. On Saturday. I don't know what he's saying to me.
It's not important.
Hey, do you need a smart and convenient way to clean your clothes and sports equipment? Because Bel Air Cleaners is not just a dry cleaner. It's a community-minded business offering innovative, trusted services that make life easier and healthier. So Bel Air Cleaners offers a wide range of unique and innovative services tailored to make life easier. Pick up sanitization with SaniSport and delivery service for sports equipment. Dry cleaning of specialty items done right, such as comforters, shoes, hats, and wedding attire. Laundry done at the click of a button, including pickup, wash, dry, neatly fold, and delivery. Hey, I use Bel Air. A leaf over at Bel Air is always going to treat you well. And if you need shirts, like if you travel for business and you need crisp dress shirts folded, so when they come out of the carry-on, they're ready to just be hung up and no wrinkles, oh, you've got to go to Bel Air. They will press them. They'll fold them. They'll put them in a travel bag. You can pop it right in the carry-on or the backpack, and they'll be good as new as soon as you land at your destination. Plus, what Alif and the gang at Bel Air do, they also make sure they give back to the community, always giving back through partnerships with local charities like Kidsport Calgary. For every equipment cleaning service, $15 goes back to Kidsport. Parachutes for pets. They accept donations of good condition animal supplies. They clean the items at no cost and ensure they're passed on to pets and families in need. And Day One Dad, their mission is to support dads, moms, and caregivers by offering resources that empower families to thrive as well. 5% of your total goes back to Day One Dad as well. Always great to have a local business given back to the community. Visit bell-air.ca, call 403-201-4911, or drop by to experience their services firsthand.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So when you've got a cool event like Hockey Day in Canada in your backyard here in Canmore, it's awesome. Welcome back. Flames Talk continues. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers. We're here in Canmore. Hockey Day goes Saturday starting at 11 o'clock Calgary time, 11 o'clock Mountain, and then 12 and a half straight hours from there. And it's all happening here in Canmore. And so if you've got something happening with this big a deal in the sport of hockey in our province, probably Hockey Alberta is going to be involved as well. And we've got the president and COO of Hockey Alberta, Ron Lewinsky, is with us right now. Ron, thanks for stopping by. How are we doing?
Doing great. Anytime you have the chance to get to Canmore and celebrate the game, it's a win for us.
So what is Hockey Alberta's role and involvement here this weekend? What is Hockey Alberta's presence for Hockey Day in Canada?
It starts back to, and Andrew Milne was a huge part of getting the event here in Canmore, so thanks, Andrew. I think everyone in the community knows him. He contacted Hockey Alberta and said, hey, Rob, do you think there's any chance that Hockey Alberta could help out? And as I said off the top, anything we can do, anytime there's an opportunity for something like this to celebrate the great game of hockey in our province, we wanted to see what opportunities were there. So what we had the opportunity to do is have some of our staff, Michelle Skilnick, work with the host committee here just on anything they needed, just as a extra hands on deck. But in particular, really an opportunity to celebrate the game. And one of those particular things going on tomorrow is just the tri-hockey programs, and something we've done in various communities across the province.
Yeah.
And something we're getting the opportunity to do tomorrow with 45, actually oversubscribed, which is great. 45 young players get a chance to try hockey for the first time, so we're looking forward to seeing that tomorrow.
So tell us about the try hockey program and how it started, what it is, and give us a little bit more on that.
It's really just, it's named properly. Try hockey, obviously. It fits in. We have numerous things. I think people have heard of the NHLPA first shift program, which is a six-week program. You get the equipment for a great deal, all that. And that's a fantastic product and opportunity for certain customers or future customers. This is really our swing at trying something that's more of a one-off type of thing in any given community, where we get the chance to put people on the ice. We've got absolutely great partners when it comes to doing that this year. So chance to kind of do more of we try and meet people where they are. So in this particular case, partnering during Hockey Day in Canada is a perfect place to do it. But in other cases, we've been out to their communities versus, and sometimes they're very small rural communities in Alberta. They might be little niches that maybe we don't have minor hockey associations. So it's an opportunity to do that during that.
How successful has it been? Like, how happy are you with how it's worked and how it's caught on?
Well, it's been great so far, but we actually think that this event tomorrow can be a bit of a springboard. I would say that while the NHLPA program is very established, people know about it. You nodded your heads when I said that. Try hockey is something a little bit new for us. So we've tried it in different pockets of the province, but we actually have had great interest from other partners that might say, hey, is there an opportunity that we might be able to work with Hockey Alberta partners, and not just in the terrific celebratory events here at the Hockey Day in Canada, but in some of our other smaller communities that might want to try this type of thing. So it's really a showcase to try that not for the first time, but to really get exposure. And we're hoping to talk to some great partners and communities tomorrow to see where this goes next.
With some of those past events, those try hockey programs, how rewarding is it to see some of those first steps on the ice?
I mean, it's second to none, right? I mean, that's why when I think of Hockey Alberta and I think of, you know, us having, you know, 90,000 participants and 17,000 coaches, that's how I grew up. That's how a lot of us grew up. So that's a bit of that, it's Canadiana, right? So, I mean, that's what we're all here for, is you fall down, you get back up. All those things that, I mean, this day does such a, like, this whole week, really what you're doing to help to promote really shows that, all the great stories you're putting together. We get a chance to see that firsthand, because sometimes when you run an association that's 90,000 players and you're organizing things from the elite level to the grassroots, we're not always talking about all the fun things. We're talking about how to organize the game. So these opportunities truly are special.
You just mentioned, and that's a staggering number when you think about it.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I mean, you think about it, you're like, okay. But it doesn't really hit until you're 90,000 participants that are under the Hockey Alberta umbrella. And you know, you have administration and organizing. There's so much that goes into what Hockey Alberta does. And yet another big thing that you're tasked with is growing the game, right? And that's another one of the Hockey Alberta mandates.
Absolutely. And I think it starts for us, like any organization, it starts with how you plan for that. It's pretty easy to get mixed up in terms of where you really want to go or not. We're fortunate to have a very strong board of directors that gives us as management strong direction. And really, I think the idea of growing the game and celebrating the game comes from the top. So it starts with our strategy. And, you know, we have three key principles that kind of work into why do you end up with a tri-hockey program. One is to nurture a positive hockey culture in the game. So we know there's things we have to get better at in the game with our participants and with us, all of us. But we also know there's an awful lot to celebrate. And I think this next day, these 3 days show that, right? So when we say nurture positive culture, we're saying that we think there's a lot of positive and we know that. This weekend's about celebrating that. But we're humble enough to know that we got improvements to make. So that's something that's been important to us. We want to focus on truly growing the game and adding participants. The tri-hockey program is part of a bigger plan that we have, which leads to trying to get more than 10,000 players introduced to the game each year. Big number. We know that we're not going to get everybody playing hockey in the regular minor hockey stream the next year. But to have those type of targets lets us say, let's see how many we got there. And we're also starting to measure, you know, player satisfaction. You know, with such a large membership base, very opinionated, very passionate, we have to continue to do a better job of making sure we listen to what our, you know, our players are our customers, the players and the families. How do we listen to them? So we collect feedback and we try and go the direction that we hear. With an organization that broad and vast in a sport as passionate as hockey, sometimes that is a challenge for us, but that's kind of three ways that we've said strategically we're trying to help grow the game.
Tell us about the importance of every kid, every community, and that's been a long-standing part of Hockey Alberta. Tell us the importance of that.
Well, it starts with the we're just very fortunate to have set up a Hockey Alberta Foundation with a dedicated group of volunteer board of directors who have made it their sole goal to raise funds right here in Canmore in a golf tournament every year, but a number of other events each year to raise funds.
That's right. I forgot the Hockey Alberta golf tournament.
To put money back into the game. To be able to use from there. So I think the first shout out around every kid, every community is the fact that without a Hockey Alberta Foundation, we don't have the opportunity to have those funds. So credit to them and thank you very much for the work that they do. From that point, the Every Kid, Every Community program we tried to find a niche around programming and local creativity. And what I mean by local creativity is we didn't go with a prescribed program. We go out to Albertans and say, how do you think you can grow the game? You tell us what's right in Red Deer, Alberta, or in Canmore, Alberta. That's probably different than what it's like in Edmonton, Alberta, or Grand Prairie. You tell us what you think's going to work to help grow the game in your community. We're not going to have a prescribed option. And what I can say now is that for us, our foundation was able over the last 4 years to put $5 million back into the game. This last year, they put $1 million back into the game in these various grants that, in some community, it might be a small floor hockey type program. It might be a tri-hockey program working with us. In others, it might be more advanced where they want to focus on female hockey or things like that. So we were in this past year, we're in 84 communities in the province, over $1 million. And we're really proud that we're able to kind of continue to grow the game that way with that local creativity.
How important is that grant and that funding, when you're trying to grow the game by 10,000 participants year in, year out?
It's huge, and I think that one of the things that, while the NHLPA First Shift program works great as a prescribed program, that doesn't work all the time. So, that, as I mentioned, it's an opportunity to give somebody's good idea a little shot in the arm, gives them a little momentum that in some cases, if you have a very small program or a small niche community, wherever you are, it's a chance to get that little shot in the arm to help do it. We then try and take that information and celebrate it because that's, you know, turning it into events like this that let us celebrate that and hopefully continue to spurn that. And well, I could say 10 years ago, like any grant program, I'm not sure we had the subscription we would have liked. Now, a good problem to have is we're oversubscribed. So unfortunately, we're not, you know, we're very proud of the fact that we're oversubscribed. Our foundation's doing a terrific job of raising the funds, but it tells me that we're actually doing a good job, that people are wanting it and moving from there. So that's been a good advancement for sure.
Ron Litwinski's with us. He's the president and CEO, COO of Hockey Alberta here at Hockey Day in Canada. You know, you talked about, hey, always needing to learn and keep up and adapt and change. The player pledge and the online player program. Tell us a little bit more about that.
We started last year. It speaks to that, you know, I mentioned a strategy of nurture a positive hockey culture. The pledge really is about, it started last year during our provincials, so an opportunity to really hit thousands of athletes at the same time. It's really just about trying to encourage teammates, to create a more welcoming environment, to do their best to make sure that environment they're in a team environment. We know we all love that environment, those of us been part of team sport. But sometimes those are some of the corrections we can make as well. So the pledge is a reminder for teams, for coaches, for those players to really have the opportunity to kind of rally their team and say, hey, are we really making sure we're using the right language? Are we in a position where we really are treating the game with the respect that it needs? So that sparked last year. This year we're trying it for the second time. We just launched it here this week. We've partnered. We've had the opportunity to use a program that was trialed with the Western Hockey League. It's called the Respect and Sport Program.
Yeah.
That they're using for their athletes. So we're offering 100 free opportunities for some of our teams from U15 to U18 to use that program, and we're really looking forward to to where that goes next and how to celebrate that.
How excited are you for what's going to happen on Saturday? I know you're here tonight and then try hockey tomorrow and all. Like, it's got to be pretty exciting for you to see what it's going to how it's all going to come together.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Canmore for one. That's great. A proud Albertan. It's great to celebrate this great sport with the national audience. But we're going to be hanging out certainly at the Fan Fest. There's the opportunity to watch a young athlete skate on the ice outside. Some of the things we got indoor. Hopefully, talking to lots of different people around the province and maybe even the country and internationally, just about this great game of hockey. So we're just tremendously excited about that.
And you can learn all about about the different initiatives and all of what's happening in Hockey Alberta. It's a comprehensive website. I've been there many times. You can learn all about it there. So hey, thanks for stopping by and good luck on Saturday. Hey,
you bet. Awesome. Thanks so much for having us.
Ron Litwinski is the president and COO of Hockey Alberta, joining us here on Flames Talk. We're hanging out here in Canmore for Hockey Day in Canada, and everything starts on Saturday. The Try Hockey program will be there. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat to see. Again, when you think about 90,000 different participants, eh?
Yeah, that's. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprising number given the size of the province and given that it's a province within Canada. But at the same time, you don't really understand necessarily maybe the full scope of what goes into running a provincial body at this level when you do have 90,000 participants and an additional, I think it was 17,000 coaches or something in the neighborhood of that as well. Like, those are absolutely massive figures.
Okay. Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. We got Hitman pregame coming up at the top of the hour. Huge game for the Calgary Hitmen as they take on the Medicine Hat Tigers. With the Flames and Jets on Saturday night, it's a pretty big game for the Flames all of a sudden. You go into this four-game road trip, and you roll over Chicago on Monday, and then the two biggest games of the trip in a lot of ways,
yep,
when you take a look at the playoff positioning against the Blues, and the nightmare scenario happens. You had a chance to bury St. Louis and leave them 9 points, 8 points, seven, like depending on how things go, you can put them a little further behind you, or at the very worst, you want to keep it so that, okay, it's a 5 point gap.
Yep.
Instead, it's down to 1 point. Yeah, that's, that was the nightmare scenario. Hi, Fridge. Good to see you. Good to see you, man. It's 1 point now in the standings. That's not what you want to see.
No, that's probably a little tight. That's a little too close to comfort if you're the Flames and you had the opportunity to, like you mentioned, put a whole lot of distance between you and the Blues, and it just makes Saturday night's game against the Jets that much more critical, where you're staring down a four-game road trip, where if you don't come away with anything from Winnipeg, that's 2 points in your last four games and a three-game losing streak heading into what would be probably a very uncomfortable or a very grumpy four-day break before you host.
That's the other thing, a four-day break, yeah.
Things would be a lot rosier in that four-day break, pardon me, with 2 points coming out of Winnipeg as opposed to looking back and seeing opportunity lost.
Well, the Flames have done well for the most part against teams well below them in the standings. we know that there's always been this kind of reputation of the Flames playing up to their opposition, mm-hmm. but that hasn't necessarily been the case so far this year. They've had some tough games against really good teams, but they do have an opportunity to turn this into a bit of a signature win, right? Like, if you're the Flames, yes, these two games against St. Louis went horribly, and now they're right at your doorstep when it comes to this playoff conversation. But a win against Winnipeg, that's a, on top of the fact that you got a four-day break, and on top of the fact that, you know, you're able to snap a little bit of a skid, that'd be a nice little thing to put in your back pocket as you're early in the third quarter of the season.
And apologies if it sounds a little bit dramatic, but it has the opportunity to be a statement win for the Flames when you consider, again, you didn't put any space between yourself and the St. Louis Blues. You didn't put any space between yourselves and the Vancouver Canucks, who are also 1 point back. So if you're able to topple...
And reeling.
If you're able to topple the top team in the Western Conference and give yourself a little bit of that additional room, and I know it kind of sounds silly saying that in mid-January, but points here count as much as they do in March, as they do in April, as they did in October, the fact that you'll be sitting on a four-day break having just beaten the best team in your conference is so much better than the alternative if you were to drop that one and then enter that break on a three-game losing streak.
Okay. Do you make any lineup changes? I honestly do. You just got rolled up by St. Louis. That was a really frustrating game on Thursday. They've scored two goals in their last two games. I might think about bringing Kuzmenko and Miromanov back in. And even if it's just for a game to shake it up a little bit, I might think about making those two changes because Miromanov does have to play. So you could bring him back in for Hanley. I haven't loved the Hanley-Uyghur pairing as much over the last little bit as I had before. Not to say that it's been poor, but I think for a game or two, if you wanted to try bringing Miromanov back in, you could. I think Kuzmenko, even in for Dewar, could help you a little bit potentially on your power play. I'd think about doing that, but I would not make a change in net. I would stick with Dustin Wolf, but I might make a couple of changes, a couple of tweaks with the lineup.
No, I'd be resolved to keeping Dustin Wolf between the pipes. And again, we've talked a lot about it on Flames Talk all week long, where this is a scenario now where you can give Dustin Wolf a bit of runway, regardless of what the performance is. And I'm certain that he would like a couple of those goals back on Thursday night. Dustin Wolf stays in for me. I agree with you that you can't have those back-to-back sets that you did see against the Blues and not make any sort of lineup changes outside of the goalie coming out of it. So I could definitely see the scenario where Miromanov comes into the lineup in place of Hanley. And yeah, you do need some sort of spark offensively. Is Kuzmenko the guy that's going to give it to you? He hasn't necessarily shown that this season that
very
he has.
Fair. That's very fair.
But having the option of having a highly skilled player in your lineup might trigger something, but like it to me, it'd be very difficult to just roll out the same lineup again, make zero changes, given what we saw, particularly in the first period on Thursday.
Okay, that'll start to wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks to Lanny McDonald, thanks to Ron Litwinski of Hockey Alberta for joining us. This hour will be available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. And Hockey Day in Canada is coast to coast on Saturday here in Canmore. The telecast starts at 11 o'clock Calgary time, and then 12 and a half straight hours of all seven Canadian teams in action. Great storytelling here from Canmore, from Ron McLean and the gang. Check it out on Sportsnet, Sportsnet Plus, and sportsnet.ca/hockeyday. Should be a lot of fun in Canmore. What a great backdrop. What a great blast to do. Great place to do it. One more time, it's sportsnet.ca/hockeyday, and of course, Sportsnet on television and Sportsnet Plus on streaming. Hey, that'll do it. Thanks to Cam and Connor back at Sportsnet 960 World Control. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive this hour, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.